Checkmate 1-6, immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap'n J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Cap'n J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000. And streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Now time for Shot or No Shot, brought to you by
ESPN Bet. Now live in Illinois. Sign up today. New users get $100 in bonus bets with any sportsbook. Bet. Say good morning to Shea W. Norris.
Good morning on a Wednesday, one sleep away from the number one pick in the draft.
Let's go, baby!
Wait, what's so funny, Hoodie? If you're not watching on video, Hoodie is LMAOing as we open the segment.
You.
Listen in the break.
I don't know if you want to save this for us. I just said, like, this poor guy was just about to pass out. We had to help him up from one report.
In the break.
Yeah, it was like two supermodels said they want to have a threesome with him, and he ends up finding out it's Drake May. The Patriots want Drake May.
Oh, I saw the Athletic piece, and Diana Rossini goes, the Patriots are really into Drake May. That's the third pick. I almost passed out.
Oh my God!
I fell into the door of the studio.
He was so happy.
I haven't felt a happiness like that in years.
He fell into the door, Cap. He's been having candles around his bed for months now, trying to get Drake May to the Patriots, and finally. Someone agrees. Rossini says it's
Diana
very likely.
Rossini.
That's so funny.
I actually fell into the door. What a beautiful Wednesday morning.
Well, first, I thought there was something wrong, like something personal, right? Because his hands were shaking. Cap, did you see this?
Oh, I did.
His hands were shaking.
I heard you go, what's wrong? And I see him kind of doubled over. I'm like, oh, God. Arturis is going down.
Oh, God.
I got a sick relationship with sports. I do. It's just, it's very close to me.
The hands were shaking. They fell into the door. Rossini says they're getting me. Crying. It hasn't even happened yet, but he's in. Oh, my God.
These guys did it. These guys did it, man.
Wow.
All right, let's get
shot or no shot.
With shot or no shot.
Here's Shea Darling.
About 3 hours, I'm going to have to go to my doctor. Yesterday, we got some reports that Caleb Williams was not only flying to Detroit with Rome Odunze, but that he was also throwing passes to Odunze, as well as DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. This from Tom Pelissero on social media. Shot or no shot, this means Odunze is the pick if he's available.
Oh, it's a no shot.
Yeah, he may be. I don't think this means anything. I do not.
It's a no shot. But you know what it is, Cap. Oh, Cap, you and I are in the same draft class? What's up, man? We're about to get paid.
Yeah.
Good luck to you, man.
Yeah.
Maybe it's you and me.
We'll be together.
You know what? At least we're in the same draft class.
But I'm done reading into all this because I listen to people. Ooh, Kevin Warren sat down with Jarrett Payton and professed his respect and love for Justin Fields. Must mean we're not trading him. No. That was some of the stupidest takes we had to field on these phone lines here. Did you hear what Kevin Warren said? No, he came out and said Justin sucks. Of course he's going to say that. And then we have all this other nonsensical takes. Ooh, Ryan Poles' kid. He went as Justin for Halloween, and he has his poster and jersey up in his room. Hey, son, it's business. Out. And now he's got Caleb Williams as a screensaver. Stuff changes. I'm not willing to anoint him yet the pick.
Shay.
All right, ESPN's Paul Hembo put out a chart showing the hit rate for each position in the first round of the draft.
Uh-huh.
Adam Schefter aggregated this morning. It got a little traction. The hit rate was defined as a player getting a second contract with the team that drafted them. The chart showed wide receiver is the single worst position at getting to a second contract out of the first round of the draft. Only 22% of wide receivers selected from 2000 to 2019 have gotten a second contract on the team that drafted them. Shot or no shot, this actually scares you out of drafting a wide receiver in the first round.
No, trust Ryan Poles does his homework and does the best thing that he believes is right for the team. So, no, it does not.
It's a no shot for me, Cap, only in this regard. If the Bears are getting a wide receiver at 9 and they don't get more picks and they just stick with a wide receiver at 9, that wide receiver is on the same wavelength, the same track as Caleb Williams. They're both coming up together, up the ranks with the Bears together. They're learning together. So my point is that if there's a wide receiver, no matter what the stats say, you know that's what's needed on your football team. You have Keenan Allen, a year, 2 years, whatever it is. He's not here for the long haul. DJ Moore is one of your bookends. You're going to need an extra wide receiver. You know, if Scott was actually a better receiver, this would not be a conversation, Cap. If he was someone that you really believed in as your future, this would not be a conversation.
Correct. But I think that they have their questions about him. They obviously do about Velus Jones. So you got 1 year Keenan Allen. You got DJ Moore. That's all you got.
Mm-hmm.
Dante Pettis is a return man.
Yes.
So they need to get more receiving help.
Shay.
All right, I want to ask about the Bears' stadium plans. They're going to have a press conference today at noon from Soldier Field. They're expected to announce the plans for their new stadium on the lakefront. Chicago Tribune reported the cost will be $4.6 billion. The Bears are expected to provide $2.3 billion of that. About the rest expected to come from taxpayers. My question, shot or no shot, they need to put this on a ballot.
Shot.
That's a shot.
People, if you're going to – look, I don't live in Cook County, but you three do.
Yes.
And there are tens of thousands of people listening right now that also live in Cook County.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to take money from their taxes, they should have a right to weigh in. Put it on a ballot, and if people want to pay for it, God bless them. You can't just – we're taking this. No, that's not how it works in a democratic society.
That's the way it should be, Cap. But I if that's on a ballot, I definitely would want to vote on that. There's no question about it. See, and so, again, the way I look at things, I just think that the Arlington Heights plan seemed feasible and seemed right to me. Now, even though they're going to have this press conference today, it doesn't necessarily mean that the Bears are going to build at Soldier Field. It's going to be renderings. There's a plan in place. Doesn't necessarily mean that's where they're going to be. I still believe, because I've lived here for over 50 years, I believe there's always posturing and there's politics in all of it. There's a push and pull on all of it. And so, who knows? Arlington Heights, Chicago, maybe another suburb that we've read about in the Tribune and other places. Who knows?
If you haven't read the Tribune article this morning,
it's a must read.
It's a must read.
Yeah.
It is why we need a very aggressive press corps. We do.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a deep dive. What are they got inside intel, what the Bears are asking for. They're asking for over $2 billion of taxpayer money. $2 billion.
Mm-hmm.
In a city where we've got other things going on here, whether it's the migrants coming to town, whether it's we need more police, got to pay our teachers, we got to fix our infrastructure. There's a lot going on.
Yes.
Crime, all of it. So if you live in Cook County and you're going to ask people for, hey, I know you work really hard, we're taking some more of your money to build a football stadium for billionaires,
mm-mm,
I think it should be put to a vote. And if the people vote yes, God bless them.
All right, Shay.
This is breaking news on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
We turn now to intrepid reporter Shay Norling with breaking news on Cap'n Jay Hood. Shay.
Breaking news on ESPN 1000 and Cap J. Hood, brought to you by the Advantage Dealer Group, home of the 60-minute guarantee. This just came across a few minutes ago. I want to make a shot or no shot question out of it. I think it's one of the best things I've seen in sports in a very long time. Per Pete Thamel, Reggie Bush is getting his 2005 Heisman Trophy back. ESPN reporting this morning, Reggie Bush, quote, "Personally, I'm thrilled to reunite with my fellow Heisman winners and be a part of the storied legacy of the Heisman Trophy, and I'm honored to return to the Heisman family." The ruling was the NCAA admitting student-athlete compensation is real, it's here, it's not going away, and because of that, because of the rule changes, they are reinstating Reggie Bush as a Heisman winner.
Mm.
Shot or no shot, this is the NCAA finally doing the right thing.
I would say shot. You know, back when he was getting money on the side, was that against the rules? Yeah, those rules became antiquated. And so, yes, this is the NCAA doing the right thing.
That is a shot that he is able to get his Heisman Trophy back. The hope is that if there's something else that's out there, Cap, as far as awards or things that were snatched, you know, taken away from, hopefully that they'll be able to receive their awards too. But it starts with Reggie Bush, though, because we've always known that he's a Heisman Trophy winner, even though he didn't have his trophy. We've always known he's been the guy. I wonder, is there other things that the NCAA can overturn and make right again?
Now, it's not the NCAA, according to Thamel, that is changing this. It's the Heisman Trust.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that control the Heisman Trophy. The decision comes amid what the Heisman Trust is calling enormous changes in the college football landscape. He will have a formal reinstatement of the trophy today.
Super cool. How about dirty programs that had their banners snatched? Can they get their banners back?
Get Louisville their title back.
Well, then UMass Memphis. Went to the Final Four with Cal.
Yeah.
Memphis with Cal.
Yeah.
Cal's going to have a bunch more banners hanging all of a sudden. Better go back to Arkansas. Go, I have two more Final Fours. I'd like more money.
Yes. Please put that on my Wikipedia. Please.
Wow.
That's the slippery slope I'm asking, Shay. Is there more? I mean, the Heisman Trust is one thing. And I've always recognized him as the Heisman Trophy winner, even though he didn't have the trophy. Okay, great. But I wonder, is there other things that can be overturned from this? To right or wrong? But Bush is right on the top of that. I think that's good for him. He deserves it.
I think it's just good for sports. Like, yeah. He won. And honestly, it was always unfair to me that it got taken. Because it's not like he got a bag and bought a Lambo and was living some crazy life. They provided his mother with a house. Like,
wow.
You gave somebody who was struggling a home. And for that, you get stripped of an award that you earned. It always struck me as unfair and frankly stupid.
Boy, the movie Blue Chips doesn't have a future anymore.
Is that going to be taken off the shelves? Is that
right.
Canceled?
Ricky Rowe has to give back the tractor.
Hey, man, I was looking for Blue Chips on Netflix. Looks like they've taken it off the shelves. I can't get it anymore.
Right, it's like a book burning.
Hmm.
We banned that movie.
What happened?
It's inaccurate.
It was real life.
Cashed in.
That's it.
It was real life, Cap.
That's it. So good for Reggie Bush.
It just shows you also the tone deafness of some that don't understand the background of others. Thank God that you were able to live the life that you have, Cap, as a coach, to be able to understand how some student athletes did not have this silver spoon. They didn't come up from a great home. They had to learn as they were in college about life.
I could tell you a billion stories of players I picked up along the way to take to driving back to DeKalb. Can we go to, I still remember the one kid from Phillips High School. Can we stop at McDonald's? I'm starving. Yeah. Well, what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
Give me 6 Big Macs and 4 orders of fries. I'm like, when was the last time you ate? 4 days ago.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. The Heisman Trust didn't know anything about that. Did not understand the other side. It was important for Reggie Bush to take care of his family. And now it's commonplace.
Buying a winter coat and getting my hands slapped because I violated the rules.
Mm-hmm.
The kid was from California and it was 20 below or whatever it was.
Shay?
All right, Danny Zetterman sent us a photo of the Ravinia schedule yesterday with a big surprise on the list. One David Kaplan will be performing Beethoven's Piano Sonata No. 14 at Ravinia on September 1st. Cap, why were you hiding your career as a pianist from us?
Oh, he's always been a pianist.
I want to know more about this. Shot or no shot, we got to make this a show outing.
Buy a ticket. I only get comps for family. Mindy, Bruce, Wendy, my kids.
And me.
And Hoodie.
And me.
This is my son, Hoodie. He's adopted.
That's it.
That's right, Miss. That's right. That's right, Mr. Drummond.
That's it.
That's me. All right. We will have around the NFL Bears mock drafts. There's more from yesterday than we have today for you. It's a Waddle Wednesday as well on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show.
Welcome back to Cap and Jay Hood. You're officially locked in.
Put your hands up in the sky.
on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Time now for Around the NFL right here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. It's a Waddle Wednesday. We'll hear from Tommy coming up at 8:35. Around the NFL, here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Tomorrow is the NFL draft. We'll get our final draft rumors around the NFL trip tomorrow. Today, I have three separate Bears mocks for you. Okay. One where the Bears will be trading up in the draft, one where the Bears will be trading down in the draft, and one where the Bears just stamp at and use their four picks.
With the ninth pick.
All right, we're ready.
We begin with the trade-up edition of the Bears mock draft.
The Chicago Bears have traded the ninth pick.
After selecting Caleb Williams, number one overall, the Chicago
with
Bears...
the first pick.
Yes, go ahead.
The Chicago. Thank you, Mr. Goodell.
Sorry.
The Chicago Bears trade the ninth pick in the draft... And, or excuse me, yeah, trade the ninth pick in the draft.
Bears have traded the ninth pick.
Cap, yes. Before you call me a biatch, my issue with your trade up is not that I wouldn't do it. It's that I wouldn't trade a first. The ninth pick, both second round picks next year from yours and Carolina's, a fourth round pick, and the fifth round pick you received from Los Angeles, all go to Arizona for four. So you're sending 9 2-seconds next year, a fourth and a fifth.
A nine, 2 seconds, a fourth, and a fifth.
And you get back four. And you select Marvin Harrison Jr.
I would do that.
I absolutely would do that.
If my grade on Marvin Harrison was that he was that guy. Again, that he has to be that guy.
2 seconds, a fourth, and a fifth.
Yes.
For Marvin Harrison.
Yes. Now I've got him on a 5-year rookie deal.
Yes.
Game on.
I don't know, Cap. He's a diva to me.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Could you imagine both of them on the same football team? Yeah. I think it'd be great.
And now that the Steelers aren't going to pick up Justin's 5th-year option, we could re-sign him and bring him in as a Taysom Hill type.
Oh, my God. Bill Polian joins us on Captain J. Hood. Bill, how are you?
Bill, good morning. How are you? Go ahead, Shay.
Joe Buschbaum. Go ahead.
I would be excited about it. I still don't know that I'd do it. I think you're giving up a lot of capital for one guy. But I would like this better than giving up next year's first. Giving up next year's first worries me because you're giving up 5 years of control over a player. That's really important to me to keep. Anyway, you take Marvin Harrison, round one, pick four. In the third round with the 75th pick, you get the tackle out of Notre Dame, Blake Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
And in the fourth round, this guy's falling a lot because of a DUI. I don't know if Poles would actually take him, but I would. You get Tavondre Sweat, Texas defensive tackle.
Yeah, he just had the DUI like
a couple weeks ago.
How stupid do you have to be? You're putting your entire career in the hands of evaluators who are risk averse, and you get a DUI 2 weeks before the draft?
He's not armed with the knowledge and the maturity that you and I have.
But you would question his decision-making if I'm handing him millions of dollars and putting my future of my franchise in his hands.
You and your vanity is always asking, is she hot? Well, me on the football side is asking, can he play? Despite the picadillos, can he play? And the answer is yes.
He's talented, no question.
And this goes back to what almost 365 days ago where you and I were talking about someone that had a quote-unquote character issue and whether or not that was worthy of the number one pick.
Jalen Carter. Right. And Poles went, no.
And the Eagles said, we have the infrastructure to support this young man. And how many scandals off the field for Jalen Carter? Zero. Because the Eagles said, we're not tolerating that. We might not be very good down the stretch, but you're going to keep your nose clean. And it was fine. That's the whole thing with this, Cap. You are 100% correct. How could you do this on the dawn of the draft? How could you do this? This kid, think he can get away with it, probably got away with it in college. That's how it works, right? Doesn't make sense, but it happened. Now the hope is that he can turn his life around, that you don't hear any more scandals while he's in the NFL.
You would hope.
Right?
You would hope.
That's what it is.
Yep. All right, Chet.
All right, the next simulation I ran was the Stampat simulation. This was by far the most boring and honestly my least favorite of the three that I did.
With the ninth pick,
the Bears select Rome Odunze at number 9. In the third round, pick 75, once again, they get the tackle out of Notre Dame, Blake Fisher. And in the fourth round, 122, once again, they get defensive tackle out of Texas, Tavondre Sweat. Like I said, this one's boring, and frankly, I don't love it. This, I wake up, I have no issue with it, but I wouldn't be over-the-top excited about it.
I mean, if you're adding a first-round wide receiver to this group, there's nothing boring about that.
I understand there's an pyro and ballyhoo with all the movement up and down the draft, but if you're getting a guy that could be a cornerstone for your franchise, I'll take it. I like boring. And by the way polls works, Shay, as you well know, he always talks about, I got to be blown away to be able to get a certain pick. I got to be blown away to make a certain deal. It feels like, unless he is blown away, that I think the standard will be 1-9 and then go home after the first round of the draft. That's what it feels like to me. Feels like just at 9, just like, well, this is the quality that's on our board. All right, we're good.
Take him.
And that's only, and that's based on what he's done here in the offseason. I don't have to do a lot of movement here. And pick up the phone. Hello. No, that's not a good deal. Hello, that's not a good deal. All right, we got quality at 9. Let's go home. Let's get ready for the next day. That's what it seems like to me. If there was inactivity in the offseason and not a lot of guys in free agency, and it's like, I got to make some moves. And, you know, kind of like what the Vikings are right now, right? The Vikings feel like they need to make some extra moves here because they feel like they're last in the division, to me, now that Kirk Cousins is gone.
Yeah, and they're in a bit of a reset.
Mm-hmm.
They're not a horrible roster, but they're not great.
All right. What's next, Shay?
All right, the final mock, the trade down mock. This one actually ended up being my favorite. Probably not a big surprise to Cap. Select Caleb Williams, number 1 overall, with the 9th pick.
The Chicago Bears have traded the 9th pick.
You trade the 9th pick back to New Orleans for picks 14 and 45 in this year's draft.
14 and 45.
With the 14th pick, the Chicago Bears select Jared Verse, edge rusher, Florida State.
Wait, hold on a second. I'm going 9 to 14, and all I'm getting is pick 45?
You might get more, but this was what worked for PFF to do the simulation.
Well, PFF's dumb then.
I don't think you get multiple picks this year. I think you might get a bonus pick next year.
I'm not going from 5 spots down and getting the 45th pick for my troubles. No shot.
The 45th pick ain't bad. The 45th pick here turns into Troy Franklin, wide receiver out of Oregon.
Yeah, I'm not looking for ain't bad. No. Sorry. Not. That's bad.
It says on your sweatshirt, chase it ain't bad.
Yeah. My sweatshirt says chasing greatness.
That loud orange sweatshirt says chasing ain't bad.
Chasing ain't bad.
Greatness. That's what I'm chasing. Greatness.
So what? Don't interrupt him. So 9th pick to the Saints for number 14 and 45.
Right.
14 would be Verse, which is not a bad deal. Who wouldn't want Jared Verse? Could be a difference maker, yes. Mm-hmm. And 45.
Mm-hmm.
Don't like that, though.
No, you're not giving me enough to make me go down 5 spots and I get pick 45? No.
And what else with that, Shay? Is that the end of the deal?
45 is going to be Troy Franklin, the wide receiver out of Oregon, at a 9.02 RAS score. Pretty good RAS for Troy Franklin. Big fan of his. Watched him a lot at Oregon.
Yeah. John Theory, rest in peace, had a great RAS score, too. How'd that work out?
Well, I'm just having fun with this.
Put the freaking tape on. Can they play football?
Yes, he can play football. I watched him a bunch. The separation is insane. He's a really good player. Round 3, pick 75. I went with the defensive tackle out of Oregon, Brandon Orlis, because I think in this simulation, Tavondre Sweat was off the board.
That was a really good show with Robert Wall, I think, was in Orlis.
That's Arliss.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, my God.
I then traded down again, Hoodie. I got some more picks.
Wait, hold on a second. I'm running out of space here on the yellow pack. Go ahead.
Round 4, pick 122. I moved it to Atlanta for 143, 197, and a 7th round pick next year.
Wake me when you're done.
Got Malik Mustafa, the safety out of Wake Forest. I know Cap's seen a ton of tape of Malik Mustafa.
Never heard of
him. It's a strong name. You got to admit, strong name. Malik Mustafa, that's a Chicago Bear.
He's in Lion King.
A brother.
Can't you just see Mustafa on the back of a Bears jersey?
Well, some could.
A brother.
And I grabbed this guard out of Miami, Javion Cohen. Nobody knows anything about him. He's an offensive guard from Miami.
I saw him in synagogue.
No question about that.
Cohen! For me, I like to trade down draft.
Are we done?
Cap hates mock drafts.
I do.
We're just having fun with it, man.
You're naming guy. Like, who cares?
I'm trying to get the Bears some elite Razz players.
We got some guy named Cohen. From where? Highland Park? I mean, enough.
Hopefully not.
I got you a Mustafa in your defensive backfield.
I never heard of these guys.
Mustafa,
I probably
jerseys
never will
be
hear
flying
of these
off
guys.
The shelves.
A brother.
What's wrong with that?
Got to replace Eddie Jackson somehow. We're getting Malik Mustafa.
How about that, Waddle? How about Mustafa for the Chicago Bears? Got to get Tommy
lost
on
your
it.
Minds. I think what? You guys have all kind of lost your minds. I think the draft has made you all crazy.
Yeah, thank God. Get it?
Well, you in particular, Mr. Screamer over there.
What do you mean, me in particular? I chase greatness, Tommy.
Oh, God, please, come on. Don't we all? We all chase greatness. We all just don't say it every day.
No, we don't all chase greatness.
We
don't.
Do.
No, Arturis Karnišovas does not chase greatness. He's a settler. Chasing greatness is a thing
so
you do each
team.
And every day.
If that's
day.
The case, your baseball team's not allowed to wear your new shirt either, then.
Why not? We went out and won yesterday. Again.
That's fine. You split a four-game set with the Marlins, who are a double-A team, and you don't have a bullpen that is worthy of a championship. So
damn.
You can't just be, you know, you can't be selective with when you're telling somebody they're a settler. You all are settlers or no one's a settler. So you can't look at the Cubs and say, yeah, you're doing everything humanly possible to win, and then point the finger over here and say they're settlers. Uh-uh, buddy.
There you go, Tommy.
Okay, Tommy.
There you go, Tommy.
Good night.
But don't leave, Tommy. That's not
it. I like the music. Like, what is this? Jay Moore.
It's the Settlers.
That's the Settlers?
Yes. It's the Settlers.
It's Rawhead. Rawhead.
That's so good. You know what? I was having a little bit of a down morning. Now it's all good.
There you go.
You know why you're having a good morning? It's going to be much better because it's a Waddle Wednesday.
You get to be with us.
That's right.
Amen.
So we're going to have Tommy coming up next with his thoughts on the draft and everything else. Chicago sports right here on Cap and Jay Hood.
Welcome back to Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Tom Waddle, former wide receiver for the Chicago Bears.
The guy's amazing.
1989 All-Madden team and afternoon co-host on ESPN Chicago.
I think he's going to start at least 8 games in the National Football League next year for a team that's going to give him a chance.
It's Waddle Wednesday with Tom Waddle.
Listen, I got a pedicure in an hour. When I get back here, the wheels better be spinning, all right?
On Cap and Jay, ESPN Chicago.
It's a Waddle Wednesday on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. And Tommy's on the hotline.
That'd be the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
Good. What was that? Who was that?
Good, Tommy. Good. Thanks.
Yeah.
We'll jump right in and talk to you about... Just swallowing the conversation, just talking all over him to Tommy. Tommy, we want to get your thoughts. In your mind's eye, when it comes to the Bears' new stadium, did you envision it being in Arlington Heights, or did you envision a dome on the lakefront?
I always envisioned, when the conversation became something that was creeping towards reality, that it would be in Arlington Heights. Like, I was 100% convinced. Because it made the most sense. Not only that, but if you go back to the genesis of their decision, you know, they put down, almost $200 million for that tract of land. And the Bears don't normally throw around $200 million lightly. So my thought was, there's no doubt their intentions are pure and they're going to build here. And I got to tell you guys, I drove by that area the other day. And it is just a magnificent piece of land where you could build a paradise unlike anything else. And I've always been an advocate of it. So, Jonathan, I was 100% sold that that's where they were going to be. But then when they hired Kevin Warren and you heard him talk and the sincerity in his voice, and if you've had an opportunity to talk with him, I don't believe, never have believed, he's playing poker. I think his 110% intent is to build this stadium on the lakefront. So I was 100% convinced, guys, that it was going to be in Arlington Heights. Now I'm 100% convinced, and have been for a while, that you know they're not playing. They're not playing this game of poker. This is where they want to be.
Yeah, and did you read the Tribune article yet this morning?
I think it came out. Did it come out last night?
Yeah.
About like how unlikely it is that Downstate and Springfield that they're going to okay any type of $2.3 billion public funding,
and that the Friends of the Parks are a real impediment to trying to get this done. So,
and as a Cook County person, I'm going to have to pick up half the tab if this goes through.
Yeah, you know, and Jonathan, look, I mean, I think that, and you could speak to this better than those of us who don't live in Cook County, but, like, you're not going to get a vote. What's going to end up happening is you can hold your representatives accountable, I guess, when the next election comes.
Oh, I'm not
around.
Sure about that. Now, I think it may end up getting a referendum on the ballot.
All right. I was not aware of the political machinations of this, but it doesn't. I was not aware of whether or not when they decided to rehab Soldier Field, did that go up for a vote?
I don't believe it did. But they just, Kansas City Royals and Chiefs tried to do the end around, and they said, nope. Sorry, it's 2023 was when the vote was, I believe.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they lost massively.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and that's the Chiefs.
My guess is, guys, is that if this was something that was voted on by the people of Cook County or the people of Chicago, it wouldn't get passed. I think that if you lean on some of the economic reports and some of the smart people with regard to business, they will tell you it is virtually a 95 to 100% fallacy that public spending or the public economy is given a boost by these types of projects. That's always the promise that comes from the organizations. But the reality is, I don't think it really pays off, no pun intended, in the manner in which they intend. And the thing that caught my attention most, guys, of that article is there's still, when you combine the amount of public funding that was put into building Guaranteed Rate and the rehab of Soldier Field, there's still $630 million of debt on the books.
There's more now than when they did the deal.
Yeah, because my guess is that it's such an
interest only loans don't work out well.
Not for projects this big. So, look, I love this team. I love this franchise. I have more excitement, enthusiasm, and optimism about them than I've had in maybe forever. But this one is this one's going to be a tough sell, even with the organization pointed in the right direction. So we'll find out. I'm told I was up at Hollis Hall yesterday, and you know they always have a great event to recognize the Piccolo Award winner as a rookie and a veteran, and T.J. Edwards was a veteran, and Darnell Wright was the rookie, and it's a fabulous situation and program and whatever they do. The point I'm making is there was a lot of enthusiasm in that building from people that I know up there about what is going to be presented today. Now, I mean, look, I get it. Nobody's going to say, hey, we're going to put some crayon drawings out there and it's going to suck. No, I get it. I mean, they're trying to sell their own product. But there is some significant and I think sincere enthusiasm from some folks up there about that they think they got a winner here.
All right, let's talk on the field because that's what is going to grab center stage after today's news conference. It's Caleb Williams at 1, and then at 9, there's some smoke that the Bears, you know, Odunze's on the flight with Caleb, and they've been throwing footballs to each other. But there's also some smoke that Brock Bowers is a guy the Bears like a lot. How would you feel about Brock Bowers at 9?
It wouldn't be my first choice, but I'm kind of in. I'm a lot. What's that?
Why?
Well, because you've spent significant resources on your tight end position. You've given Cole Kmet a contract extension. Gerald Everett was brought in here. Not a ton of money.
But is he a tight end or more of a receiver?
No, he's a tight end. I mean, he can do some He's probably a touch more athletic than but don't make any mistake. He's not George Kittle. I mean, I don't think so.
Brock Bowers?
No. I'm saying Gerald Everett.
Got it. Because Brock Bowers a 4.48 40.
Yeah. Brock Bowers is you know, look, again, if they decide that's what they're going to do, I can make a case for you that you basically just play Brock Bowers as a slot, and he's an oversized wide receiver who becomes a matchup nightmare with some folks. Like, he's a fabulous player, no question. But if it was up to me, and there was if Roma Dunze was there, I'd take the wide receiver before I would take the tight end at this point.
By the way, Byron Murphy is the favorite at DraftKings and FanDuel to go 9. Byron really? Murphy.
Is he a true 3 technique?
Let me pull up the NFL.com.
I mean, I think he's being sold by that. Maybe Yurko would be the best guy to answer that question. I know he's kind of built, isn't he, like Aaron mm-hmm. Donald? I know it's sacrilegious to even bring up his name with anybody else. I think he's like 6'1", and he's under 300 pounds. I don't know. I mean, that was an interesting conversation that Ryan Poles had with everyone yesterday about the 3 technique. The guy inside's got a shorter path to the quarterback than the guy on the outside. I know how important the 3 technique is to Matt Eberflus's defense. So, look, I'm just hoping for a difference maker at 9. If they at this point, I'm in the trust tree. I got to say, like, whether it's valid or not, I think they've done a really nice job retooling this roster. They haven't all been hits. But I'm in the trust tree with him right now. I just want 2 guys. Obviously, we know what's happening at 1. I want someone at 9 that can step in and be a significant difference maker and also threaten, whether he's an offensive player or a defensive player, he's going to be high up on the list of guys getting votes for Rookie of the Year, much in the way the Houston Texans did last year when their 2 first-round draft picks won Offense and Defensive Rookie of the Year. I want guys that can make a difference.
Yeah, we've got to take our break with you, but his measurables in terms of size, he's 6'5", yeah. 297,
yeah.
And he's projected to be a good starter within 2 years by NFL.com.
That doesn't light my candle, but, you know, look, what the hell do I know? I don't make it a habit of breaking down defensive linemen's play.
More with Waddle's Candle right around the corner on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
It's a Waddle Wednesday on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Tommy, if I told you Braxton Jones, Tevin Jenkins, Ryan Bates, Nate Davis, Darnell Wright, along with a sprinkle of others, as part of this offensive line, are you good with that? Or would you like an upgrade?
I'd like an upgrade, but I'll live with it for the time being, Jonathan. My biggest concern is center, to be honest with you. Maybe it's just I'm scarred. Too many snaps to the shins of our young quarterbacks.
Yes.
You know, and guys just getting mauled at the line of scrimmage. I think quarterbacks, especially young guys, are more bothered by pressure that comes from right in front of their face than off the edge. And maybe Bates is the answer. God, I hope so. The kid they signed that started all, 17 games for the Rams. I just think that position is really important. And maybe I'm overvaluing it, but I would like to see an upgrade there, but I thought Jeff Mellor made an interesting evaluation or comment just was a good conversation about how if Caleb Williams can step in and play the quarterback position with a little more feel than we've seen in recent years, maybe he can help out the performance of Braxton Jones. Doesn't mean it solves the problem, right? But it allows you to kind of get maybe a better evaluation of Braxton Jones if, in fact, the ball is coming out correctly, the protections are set correctly, and he's not being asked to do more than he's capable of doing. Again, not suggesting it will make him an all-pro type of player, but I think it may give you a better feel for who he is. And then when you have, a full complement of your draft picks in 2025, then maybe you can fill in some of those gaps. And look, these are big gaps because they're offensive linemen, but I'd be lying to you, Jonathan, if I said it was 100% secure. I love Tevin Jenkins when he's there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know what Nate Davis is going to bring consistently. There were times last year when he was fantastic, and there were other times where you just couldn't count on him. And as much as you like Darnell Wright, I think that you really learn more about a player in his second year than you do in his rookie season. So still have some questions for sure. But, again, I would just caution people, this is not a finished product. And maybe I'll eat my words and they win the Super Bowl this year. But I would just say, look, they are headed in the right direction. They should be significantly better. You should have better quarterback play because of the infrastructure around him this year than we've seen the last few years. But I still look at this team and say there are still things that need to be done. And I know Ryan Poles said yesterday it's going to be hard to make this team. The roster is significantly better, but I still have a few worries.
There are a bunch of cool prop bets in Vegas for the draft. I'm going to ask you on what color is Caleb Williams' nail polish. Black is the overwhelming favorite.
Well, always.
Orange, white, pink, blue, green. I'm saying he's not going to have his nails painted. What do you say?
I don't care. I just want to get that out there. It's not a positive or a negative for me. You know, you be whoever you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go with navy blue. He's wearing a blue suit.
That's correct, with silver accents.
Yeah. Well, maybe the nails then will be silver. Maybe that will be the accent. But I would go probably with the, you know, navy blue.
And who will smile first, Belichick on the broadcast or Saban?
I think Saban. I think Saban's more naturally, you know, willing to smile.
He's the favorite. Saban is minus 150.
Yeah, and by the way, he quit on his own. Yeah, Bill was shown the door. So
yes, he was.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm excited for it. I was just talking to Shea at the break, though. I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know this isn't going to excite Danny Zetterman. He's going to get pissed at me and say, this is content. It is content, but everything has a shelf life. I'm done. I'm ready for Thursday. I'm ready to see who they pick and move forward and stop all of the nonsense. Same way I was, you know, when I would say, God, I can't wait till they make this decision and move on from Justin. Not because I didn't like Justin, but it just felt like we needed the cathartic moment of moving forward. And people yelled at me, this is gold. This is manna from heaven. I was like, okay. You know, everything's got a shelf life. It's time. This pimple should be popped. Now.
Yes. And there's a show for that, by the way, on cable. The Pimple Popper.
That is such a gross concept. I can't even get myself to turn it on.
Me either.
A car crash.
Are you being serious?
Pimple Popper. No,
Pimple Popper.
Dr. Pimple Popper.
Oh, my God.
That's a thing.
Grossest thing I've ever heard in my life.
It's funny you mentioned Justin Fields because we broke that news from Adam Schefter about how league sources don't expect the Steelers to pick up the $25 million fifth option of Justin Fields and water's wet.
I was just going to say, Jonathan, in the face of the sun is hot.
So it's all encompassing there. But, you know, Tommy, it's up to Justin to change the narrative so he does not on the Trubisky train or just be just some veteran quarterback that's out there. It's up to him. Once if he gets the opportunity, when he gets the opportunity with the Steelers, he can change his own fortunes. It's up to him.
Yeah. I think that, you know, we forget these guys are professionals and like, look, I think we all agree universally. He was dealt a bad hand. The infrastructure for Caleb Williams is going to be 10 times better than it was for Justin Fields. But at the same time, despite everything not being perfect for him inside that huddle, there were moments when he could have elevated those around him with lesser talent. That's the nature of the beast at that position. It's the most important and most influential position in all of professional sports. So I wish him all the best. I have not heard one single bad word about that young man on or off the field. We can evaluate his performance. We can be critical. I have no personal criticism of him. I've heard nothing but great things about him, people that have been around him. I wish him well. He just was not good enough, consistently enough, albeit a difficult situation here. But yes, when he gets that opportunity, and some would believe he's in a better situation in Pittsburgh, you're right, Jonathan. He has to perform like the player that many thought he could be here in Chicago. So he has to assume some of the responsibility for the arc of his career. You can't blame it all on circumstance.
Tommy, have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow out at Soldier Field. It should be a magical freaking night.
Yes, it'll be fun. It's time, but it'll be a great time tomorrow. There's no doubt about that.
Let's go.
See you, fellas.
Tommy, thank you.
On the CarX Tire
Rattle Hotline.
You're saying?
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Tune in.
Don't worry, call the car X-Men.
We'll get a chance to talk to an NFL network analyst, Charles Davis.
Can't wait.
He joins us in 2 minutes on Cap and J Hood.